Nemoto presents classical music giants. Franz Liszt, the Virtuoso Showman. Narrated with Microsoft Azure using the Ava voice. Running time, approximately 9 minutes. The stage is lit, the hall crowded, the air electric. A tall man with flowing hair strides to the piano, his presence alone sending murmurs through the audience. He sits, and with a flourish launches into cascades of sound, thunder in the bass, lightning in the treble, melodies soaring like voices. Women swoon, men leap to their feet, the crowd shouts as if at a spectacle of gladiators. This is not the polite applause of aristocratic salons, this is frenzy. The year is 1840. And the performer is Franz Liszt, the most celebrated pianist of his age, perhaps of any age. He has created something new, Listomania. But behind the showman is also the visionary, the composer, the innovator who expanded what music could be, whose life spanned almost the entire Romantic century. Liszt was born in 1811 in the Hungarian village of Debrecen, today Rating, Austria. His father, Adam, worked for the Esterházy family, the same patrons who had employed Haydn. Adam played piano, violin, and cello, and recognized early that his son was extraordinary. At 6, Franz was improvising. At 9, giving concerts. His father took him to Vienna, where he studied with Karl Czerny, Beethoven's pupil, and Antonio Salieri, Mozart's rival and legend. The boy dazzled. Audiences compared him to Mozart as a child prodigy. But Liszt was restless, ambitious. His family moved to Paris, though the conservatoire refused him admission because he was foreign. It mattered little. Paris embraced him nonetheless. By his teens, Liszt was already a sensation. Yet he was not content with virtuosity alone. He was a voracious reader, devouring Goethe, Byron, Hugo. He befriended artists and intellectuals, saw music as part of a wider romantic movement of poetry, painting, philosophy. The death of his father in 1827 plunged him into crisis. For a time, he considered entering the priesthood. But in 1830, he heard Paganini, the violinist whose dazzling technique left audiences gasping. Liszt resolved to do for the piano what Paganini had done for the violin. He began a regime of practice and invention, developing a technique that seemed impossible: leaps, runs, octaves, trills, textures that made one piano sound like an orchestra. In the 1830s and 1840s, he toured relentlessly. His concerts were not staid recitals, but spectacles. Women fought for locks of his hair, pieces of his gloves. Critics mocked the hysteria, but Liszt cultivated it, playing with demonic energy, throwing himself into the keys. He was the first pianist to play from memory, the first to turn the piano sideways so audiences could see his profile, the first to construct the modern recital format. He was showman and artist both. Yet the frenzy around him obscured his deeper aim: to elevate the role of the pianist and the repertoire. He transcribed Beethoven's symphonies for piano, introduced audiences to Schubert's songs through virtuosic arrangements, championed the works of Berlioz, Wagner, and others. Liszt's compositions in this period are dazzling. His etudes, such as the Transcendental Etudes, push technique beyond known limits while embodying poetic visions, storms, hunts, visions. His Hungarian rhapsodies drew on the gypsy music of his homeland, infusing folk spirit into high art. His paraphrases of operas by Verdi, Bellini, Wagner transformed popular arias into pianistic showpieces. But beneath the glitter, Liszt was searching for new forms. He pioneered the symphonic poem, orchestral works based on literature, history, or landscapes, such as Les Preludes or Mazeppa. These works broke from strict symphonic form, blending narrative and music, inspiring generations from Strauss to Sibelius. In 1847, Liszt abruptly ended his career as touring virtuoso at the height of fame. He accepted a post in Weimar as Kapellmeister, devoting himself to composition, conducting, and mentoring younger artists. In Weimar, he composed some of his most important works, the Piano Sonata in B minor, a single vast movement of architectural brilliance, symphonic poems that expanded orchestral language, choral works infused with spirituality. He gathered around him a circle of disciples, spreading his influence widely. His personal life was complex, even scandalous. He had three children with Countess Marie Diagoult, a writer known as Daniel Stern. Their stormy relationship ended, but their daughter Cosima would later marry Richard Wagner, intertwining Liszt's legacy with Wagner's. Later, Liszt formed a long relationship with Princess Caroline zu Sayn-Wittgenstein, who encouraged his sacred compositions and writings. He was generous to fellow musicians, giving money, arranging concerts, promoting others. He championed Chopin, Schumann, Berlioz, Wagner, often at the expense of his own reputation. As he aged, Liszt turned increasingly to religion. In 1865, he took minor orders in the Catholic Church, wearing clerical garb, though never abandoning the worldly entirely. He divided his time between Rome, Weimar, and Budapest, composing sacred works such as the Missa Solemnis and Via Crucis. His late piano works, such as Neuage's Gris and Bagatelle sans Tonalite, are startlingly modern, sparse, dissonant, anticipating Impressionism and even atonality. They reveal a man still searching, still experimenting, unafraid to abandon brilliance for austerity. Liszt lived until 1886, revered as an elder statesman of music. His students, known as the Lisztian School, carried his techniques across Europe and America. His death in Bayreuth, at the home of his son-in-law Wagner, closed a life that had spanned the Romantic century from Beethoven to Debussy. What makes Liszt a giant is not only his virtuosity, but his vision. He transformed the role of the pianist, created new genres, promoted others' genius, and bridged the worlds of performance, composition, and pedagogy. He embodied Romanticism's extremes, flamboyance and faith, excess and introspection, worldly fame and spiritual quest. Listen to Liszt, and you hear not only thunder and lightning, but tenderness, devotion, yearning. You hear Hungary's spirit, Europe's romantic dreams, an artist who gave all he had to the keyboard and beyond. He was the virtuoso visionary, the man who made the piano sing, roar, and whisper like an orchestra, the man who dreamed music as both spectacle and salvation.